Let us pray. Sanctify us in your truth, Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I invite you to say that whole verse with me. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, this verse is cemented in my memory. When I hear it, I am reminded of a year's worth of Wednesday nights. Not Wednesday nights that I spent in confirmation, but Wednesday nights I spent in seminary helping lead an after-school program for the kids of a neighborhood in Minneapolis that was very tough. My friend and I would go to St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church each afternoon on Wednesday. We would pick up donated vegetables. We would go make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And then we would each take an old church van and drive our route through the neighborhood of North Minneapolis and pick up kids who otherwise would be at home, sometimes alone after school, some of them hungry, some of them living in houses where lots of stuff went down. For a couple of hours every Wednesday night, these kids were in our care. And this was a little scary, actually. As an inexperienced teacher and leader of some very wild elementary-aged kids, things at times got out of hand. If I didn't pay attention for a few seconds, I had one boy who loved to get on top of the Sunday school table and start dancing around to the delight of his friends. More than once, I found little hands searching inside my pockets, looking for whatever it was they could find when they thought I wasn't paying attention. These kids often were loud, extremely loud. Others from the church at St. Paul's would come up and just look in the room upstairs where we were to tell us to quiet down. And I was told, and I can't remember if I've shared this story with you before, but I was told by one of the girls that, got such a big nose. You look like a big white bird. Why do you have such a big beak? With straight face, she wondered this. It was challenging, to say the least, not only to pick up these kids in their various neighborhoods, to keep them safe in the van, to feed them, to develop and run programming that worked some of the time. Maybe most of all, it was challenging to drop them off in what were visibly dangerous places to live, where I could easily see and hear evidence firsthand of drugs and guns. But one of the things we did together was memorize scripture. And one of the verses we memorized was John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, these kids were certainly in need of a shepherd or two. And it would be tempting for me in telling this story to say that I was the good shepherd for them. That would be my temptation. Now, I did my best with them. But one day, there was a small girl who taught me a lesson as valuable as any that I learned in seminary. She cuddled up to me, held my hand, and she asked me, you're not going to leave us like the others have, are you? And I was a little confused. I didn't know who came before me or what had happened. She said, I'm a little scared that you're just going to leave us and we'll never see you again. I assured her that I was there for the whole year. But I didn't know where I would be after that. Now, what was she afraid of? She knew firsthand what it was to have a shepherd who flees when the going gets tough. And she was right. I was not her good shepherd. I did leave at the end of the year. Not because I was afraid, I don't think. Not because I didn't like those kids. I loved those kids, rascals that they were some of the time. But my life and my education took me other places, and her fears were realized. I, for all of my efforts of feeding and driving, keeping safe, teaching, caring for, I was not their good shepherd. But they had one, and they have one still. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so Jesus died and was raised for those boys and girls of Kids Club. And so he died and was raised for you. You have a good shepherd too, and it is not me. It is not any of your pastors or staff or friends or family, though Jesus will use all of us to point to the good shepherd, the one who has laid down his life for you, the sheep. You have a good shepherd in Christ. And now that you have one, and now that you've been reminded of this, what do you do with him? Perhaps not a very theologically correct question, but to find the answer, we must go from John to the story that we joined in the book of Acts. And we have this beautiful story of Peter and John. They had just healed an infamous man in their community, a man who everyone knew, not because of his great heroics, but because of his inability to do anything in the community but beg. He was lame, Acts tells us, and every day his friends carried him to the gate at the entrance of the temple, and he asked to receive alms. That's what he did. That's what he offered. He probably didn't have the greatest appearance, I suspect, but when Peter and John came by, he asked them for money, as he asked everyone who passed. And they did not give him any money, Acts makes a point of telling us. But they did give him something. They gave him a word, a command, in fact. They said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. Not only walk, he leaped up into the air and started dancing, like my little boy, perhaps on the Sunday school table, dancing for joy, praising God. And everyone recognized him as the one who used to be lame, and they were amazed. Now, this healing was good, probably better than any alms that this man had received. But it served a greater mission, the mission of preaching the gospel. So Peter and John did not leave at that moment, but they preached forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And over 5,000 men and their families received faith that day, Acts tells us. Seems like a win-win for everybody, doesn't it? Pretty incredible story. Not only the healing, but the preaching and how they went together. It's good news. But it was not good news for everyone, and this is where our reading joins in. In the middle of his sermon, Peter and John were arrested by the elders, the scribes, the high priests, and we may recognize these names, Annas and Caiaphas, the very men who conspired to kill Jesus on the down low. And they'd worked so hard to maintain their own power, to get rid of Jesus and his preaching. Yet here were his disciples, continuing to preach, and they weren't even educated men. That was obvious to everyone. They weren't even polished speakers, but the people listened and believed. So they threatened Jesus. They threatened Peter and John, but they would not back down. And Peter keeps on preaching to these men as well, to the rulers, the elders, the scribes, the high priestly family. He says this, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that this man was healed in the name of Jesus. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, By him, this man is standing before you as well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter, once afraid, once running away, hiding with the rest of the disciples, was now bold. Why is this? It's because he realized finally that he was not the good shepherd, but he had the good shepherd. Better yet, the good shepherd had him. And what can be done once you have realized that you are not the Savior, but you have the Savior, or better yet, the Savior has you? Well, what can be done? But you share this word, and perhaps boldly. In a context that killed for such preaching, Peter proclaimed, "There is only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is Jesus Christ." Now, in our context, would we be killed for such preaching? Well, in some places in the world, probably so. Not here, thankfully. But even in our context, one which is increasingly diverse, one which increasingly pressures us as people of Christian faith to wonder whether Jesus is the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. But the message has not changed. Peter's sermon is still true for us. Jesus is our only hope for peace and salvation. And Jesus is the only hope for our neighbors, no matter who they are or what they look like. So what should we do? Well, we must share this word. We must let the world know that Christ has come for them. All that we do in faith is centered around this message. It can be no other way when we have faith. So all that we do hinges on this word, on this news. Now it is true, you have been called to shepherd in your lives. It's plain for me to see that when I look out at all of you. You are shepherds, and so am I in many different ways, but we are not the good shepherd. I hope this news frees you to live in the peace of Christ and to boldly point to the one who is the good shepherd. He has come now to take away your sins, your false trust, and your idols. He, Jesus, is the good shepherd. He comes to you to give life to you. And though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need fear no evil this day. For the good shepherd is with you. He has laid down his life for you so that you may live today and eternally. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn of the day, a paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm.